Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yudalid, somewhat of a Purim edition. Next week we'll do more Purim, Mirtzeh Hashem, but this week we'll tie into Purim as well, the Megillah. But we'll start with a very well-known Mishnah. Hu Hayomer, again, Hillel. Continuation of Hillel. Hu Hayomer, another statement of Hillel. Im Ein Ani Li, Mi Li. Ikshani La'atzmi, Ma Ani, V'im Lo Achshav, Im Asai. Three different statements. Ain't a neely mealy. If I am not for myself, then what am I? Any lats me if I'm totally for myself, or we'll see. Mani, what am I? If not now, then when? I mean, the Farshim have a lot of different interpretations of this Mishnah. We're going to focus on the Rambam, but just to get a more, see the different range of approaches here. So not on the sheet, but Rabbeinu Yonah says, if I don't worry about myself, I don't try to be mizaris myself, I awaken in myself what I need to do, then no one's going to do it for me. People could give me musr, and people might try to direct me in the right way, and I could hear all the inspirational speeches that I could listen to, but in the end of the day, if it's not me, then no one else is going to do it for me. It's up to me to be mizaris myself. Even if I listen to myself and I'm able to do that, still, I should still look for towards others and be able to not just look out for myself, and I should try to be misorder acherim. The Rabbeinu Yonah explains that it's part of just not just looking for myself, but once I'm inspired, I should try to inspire other people. Opposed to anything. Exactly. Mitzvos and the proper way to live life. Once I have that understanding, that's pretty self-explanatory, that if I don't work on myself today, and I say, okay, there's always a tomorrow, then eventually there will not be a tomorrow. And then he also focuses, and the Rambam is going to focus on this as well, that forgetting just tomorrow, but when it comes to awakening ourselves spiritually, it's important to do it as early as possible, and not wait till we get older and older and older, because then it's more difficult. When a person's young, although on one hand, maybe his Yetzirah is raging with more force, but on the other hand, he has the ability to actually change himself. Or once a person's accustomed to his old habits, and they become so ingrained in him year after year, then it's much harder to break, and therefore, the time is as quick as possible. That's the Rabbi Yonah's approach, but we're going to focus on the Rambam, who has a little bit of a different twist. You see in the second source inside, what does the Rambam say? Amar, im lo ya'ani ba'atmi, ha'ma'or nafshi l'maylos. If I don't awaken myself to try and go higher and higher to the higher levels of Avodas Hashem, mi yira, who's going to wake me up? Hol ve'ein sha ma'or b'chutz, k'moshe be'erno b'perek ha'shmini. The only real thing that's going to awaken me, the only real thing that's going to make me decide, have the proper choice to do what's right, is internally in myself. As he explained in what we didn't get to finish Shmona Prakim, in the end of Shmona Prakim, he says, V'hol v'anihu ha'mate nashi l'ezit sa'at shiyurtse. I alone have bechira to choose which direction I want to go. I have a path, two paths in front of me, two ways I can decide how I'm going to go my life. Am I going to go down the proper path, or am I going to involve myself in things that I shouldn't be involved in? Ezim maisa asisi min ha'maisim ha'tovim. And now I say to myself, it's all up to me. In ein anili mili, it's my choice to do what's right. Then I say to myself, "Kishani la'atzmi, ma'ani? Have I made the right choices?" Yeah, Simi, already.
Either you want to go to the left or to your right?
To the right, or let's instead of right and left, we'll say good and bad. You have every decision, every life decision. Sometimes we have gray, but every life decision, there's good and there's bad to it, and there's positives and negatives. So I have this choice. That's what it means. Im ein anili mili. I'm the only one that has a choice of what I should be doing in my life. But then once I have that choice, Kishlani la'atmi ma'ani, what have I accomplished? Kilo hifchis atzma b'yomer ma'ani. I say to myself, I'm giving myself muster. What have you become of yourself? Kolomer, ezer dover b'mi meni. I had this choice. I could have accomplished many things. And I say to myself, ma'ani, what have I done? What have I accomplished? Hinei ani lo shalamti. I haven't reached fullness, shlemus. Accomplished everything. Even though I know that's true. So now, once I realize, I ask myself, what has become of me? then I say, okay, and I still have a chance. Im lo'achshav imasai, right now, the present, b'shnos habachrus, as we said in the beginning, the Rambam also focuses on the younger years, masai ekna osan, by shnos ha'seva v'azikna lo, when am I going to be able to get this? When I'm older? No, now, ki yiksha ha'lahasir ha'tochachos az, ho'va ha'kinyonim kvar hichzaknu v'hizyashu, since I've already acquired my attributes, I've already acquired my habits, and they became strong, and they're settled in me, as I get older, it's important to grasp it right away. Whether it's a good thing or it's a bad thing, the time is, the Shlomo Melech says you should educate the youngster, because that is the time to do it. That's the Rambam's approach, and what he's zeroing in on, especially this line, in the second line, by the period, it's all up to me in which direction I turn my neshama towards. That's where the decision lies. Is it to me? Then I have to ask myself, well, what came of me? So this double question that a person is asking himself, what the Rambam is trying to get at, is the concept of Bechira Chafshis, which we're going to discuss a little bit. Free will, free choice. And what the Rambam seems to be saying, and we'll see in his writing and where he deals with this in full on Hilchos Tshuva, Bechira Chafshis isn't just a thing that we believe in, and we do definitely believe in, and the whole question, which I'm not going to get into tonight, unless someone raises it, about the inherent, I don't want to say contradiction, but the inherent paradox between Bechira Chafshis, free choice, and divine foreknowledge that we could deal with, that's a whole other mission in Pirkei Avos, which the Mishnah says, the Rishus is Nisna, that the permission is given to whatever you want, but HaKol Tzafoi, but Hashem knows of everything, and the Rambam says this question has been bothersome throughout history, and there isn't a good answer to it, because it's not something that our human minds could fully grasp, but that we'll leave for now. But just the concept of Bechira Chafshis itself, the fact that we all have the power of free will and free choice, what the Rambam is saying is, A, that's an important tenet of Amunah to believe in, and then B, once we know that's true, Kisha, Im ein ani li mili, it's all up to me, then I have to, by definition, ask myself another question. And that is, because shalini latzmi ma'ani, since it's all up to me, I have the power of Bechira, then I have to ask myself, ma'ani, what have I done with the Bechira? Bechira is not just something that we have, that Hashem gave us, and the Rambam is going to say, is the key to Schar V'Onesh. Bechira is the key to growth, to spiritual growth, to being able to connect and grow closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's through our Bechira. So once we've been given that power of Bechira, we have to ask ourselves, what have we done with it? It's not just that when we're in a situation, and the Yetzer HaTov is telling us to do one thing, and the Yetzer HaRa is telling us to do another thing, and we have free choice, and therefore, when we make the right decision, we're going to get schar, and we make the wrong decision because of our free choice, we're going to get punished. That's the basic level. But it's much more than that. It's that because we were given that power of choice, we have the ability to elevate ourselves and continuously make the right decisions. And that's why it is so important. That's why the Rambam decides to read this concept into the Mishnah, and a strong, powerful message to say to ourselves, because ani la'atzmi, that since it's all up to me, ma'ani, what have I done, what have I accomplished, since it's all in my hands. So let's see on the next source how the Rambam presents the concept of Bechira, and in all places, we've seen some of the Rambams in different areas, we saw Hilchos Sodei Torah and Hilchos Deos, where the Rambam, the first Sefer, deals with the Hashkafic issues. Where would you think the Rambam would put the concept of Bechira Chafshis? If you would have asked me, I would have placed it in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, which is where he deals with Amun and Hashem, and Yichud Hashem, and Avas Hashem, and Yiras Hashem, and the basic Hashkafic issues. A good number of his Yud Gimel Ikrim, his 13 principles of faith, are dealt with in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. But where did the Rambam put the concept of Bechira Chafshis? Smack in the middle of Hilchos Tshuva, in Perek He. In the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, he describes the mitzvah of Tshuva, and what we have to do, and all the steps of doing tshuva, and what things block us from doing tshuva. And then in the middle of that, Parakei, he decides to devote the entire parak to Bechir Chashis. Hopefully we'll get an insight to why he did that. We'll look inside.
He does not take into account any outside factor but the individual himself.
Correct. Now, that is a very good point, that we know that, and the Rambam himself is fully aware of, he describes it in other places, that where we are, our life situation, a lot of things go into influencing our decisions. But I think what the Rambam will tell you is, the end of the day, although there is, you know, the classic nature versus nurture psychological discussion of what influenced us to do things, the way we are ingrained by nature, or the fact that we're by our surroundings we're influenced. And the end of the day, once you believe in Bechira, then it relies on you in the end. It's your choice, it's your decision, and it's your action that's going to...
Because I always thought Kishani Lassman is if I'm only for myself.
Right, so the Rambam, that's the way to normally take it. Then it's a bad thing, Monday, right? But the Rambam is saying is no. The Rambam is saying is since, it's not if I'm only for myself. Since I am only for myself, and I could always ask the question, and I always have the ability to make the right choice, then I have to ask myself, Ma'ani, well, what choices have I made in life? Where is that God in me? Have I made the right choices? You're right. It's a very unique read to the Mishnah.
Never heard it
before. Which one?
This Rambam. The basic approach is...
Because you would think that one is the
opposite.
Really,
it's the opposite of the other. They ping-pong off each other. Im ein ani li mili,
right.
That's a good thing. V'kshani latzmi, a negative thing, ma'ani. Says the Rambam, no. Because of the ein ani li mili, therefore... Since that's true...
I can understand the Rambam. It may not mean exactly the way he said it. That first, I have to get myself in order.
It's up to me.
It's all up to me.
Right.
But once I've decided that it's up to me, right? And then if I just stand for myself,
he's not discussing that.
I understand.
He agrees to that.
Right, that's fine.
He's not discussing that. Good. Right. So now let's see the Rambam's full development here in Hilchos Tshuva. Parakeh, where he discusses the concept of Bechira. He says, Rishus l'chol adam nesuna, imratza, he uses the same language, even though it's in the Parashat Mishnah, it's a translation from Arabic, imratza l'hatos atzmo, to turn himself, l'derech tova, v'liot tzadik, harishus biyado. A person decides, I want to be a tzadik, and the end of the day, although it is a difficult journey to get there, as the Gemara describes it, it looks like an lasid lavo, the tzaddikim are going to see the Yetzer Hara, and it's going to look in their eyes like a giant mountain. And how did we ever reach somewhat near the top of this mountain? And they're not going to be able to understand how they did it. Although it's a difficult journey, a person, if he decides, I want to become a tzaddik, he has the ability to do that. And as the Gemara says, for the Rishayim, it's a lot easier. They're going to look at the Yetzer Hara, Lhasa Lavo, and they're going to see it not as a giant mountain, as a very small little hill, and they're going to say to themselves, how did we not be able to conquer this little thing? What were we thinking? But the Rishus is given to them to live their lives as Rishayim. For who? Shekasa b'Torah. What is the Rambam's main source, proof, in Torah, that there is a concept of Bechira Chashvis, free choice? Hein ha'adam haya ke'echa mimenu ladas tovira. In the story in Bracious with the Etzadas, that Hina Adam Hayak Echa Mimenu Ladas Tovira, that Adam will become like the Malachim, to be able to have the ability to know the difference between good and bad. Kilomer Hein Min Zeshel Adam, this unique being of a person, Hayachin Ba'olam, the Ein Min Shini Domalo Bezeh, Ha'inyan, Shiahu Me'atzmo Betaito Machshavdo Yodea Tovira. To stop and think about this idea for a second is a little mind-blowing. No one else in the entire creation, animals, other creatures, have the ability to know on their own, internally, from their own knowledge, the difference between right and wrong. And a person, he learns it, he develops it, but at the end of the day, his moral compass, his decision to do what's right versus to do what's wrong, comes from himself. He knows it himself. He himself, with his own knowledge and thought, it's internal to him. The person, a human being, has the ability to know on his own and decide on his own to do what's right or what's wrong, and he could do what he wants. You can't stop me. I can do whatever I want. A person has the ability to do whatever he wants, and this becomes a whole issue, also not for now, but an interesting issue to discuss when another person's bechira interferes on someone else's bechira. If a person can do whatever he wants, so how does my bechira affect you? If I can do whatever I want, and therefore a person could kill another human being, and that's his choice, then what happened? One person's bechira now intercepted, interfered with another person's bechira, because now that person obviously can't do what he wants, and whatever was destined for him to be able to accomplish was cut off by another person. That there's a very interesting, well, the time to talk about it is a very interesting Or HaChaim Kadosh in Parshas Vayigash, I think Parshas Vayigash, where he deals with Yosef and the Achim, exactly, actually I think it's also the previous week, where the whole story between Yosef and his brothers, what exactly they were thinking. What were the brothers thinking by attempting first to kill him and then to throw him in the pit? And he gets into this issue where they felt that it was their job to interfere with Yosef's Bechira. He decided and thought that the right thing for him is to become the king and rule over all the other brothers, as they themselves say, who are you to rule over us? And they said, we have the Bechira now to interfere and intercede in what they did, to what they think is to do was right. And he gets into the whole interesting philosophical discussion how that could be. But that's what the Rambam is saying. That was their choice.
No, that was going to affect their outcome. They thought it was going to
affect them. Right. So that's this ping pong game that he's dealing with. And that's what the Rambam saying. V'ein mi shiyakid biyadol malasos hatov hara. No one can stop me. That is Bechira. So first his proof is from, interesting proof, hein ha'adam hayak echad b'menel l'das tov hara. He's unique. I think I saw pointed out that ke'echad, there's two interpretations. Sometimes it means singular, and here what the Rambam is saying is unique and special. I think in Brachos, when Avram and Elimelech, so I think it describes him as Echad Ha'am. And what the Mefarshim explained of it, what does it mean Echad Ha'am? It doesn't mean just an individual. He is the unique amongst the rest of the nation because he's the king. So, but the Rambam is learning the pasuk Hayek Echad Mimena L'das Tovara, that a person, a human being, is a unique creature, head and shoulders above the rest of creation, because he has this ability to choose and decide to do what is right or wrong. Some Mefarshim, like the Ramban, also point to the pasuk of Re'ei Nasati Lefnichem Hayom, as a bracha, as a kala, u'becher tebechayim, that you see you have two choices in front of you, and Hashem is telling you, choose. The Rabbeinu Yonah even goes so far to say that that's a mitzvah. In Shari Tshuva, in Shar Gimel, where Rabbeinu Yonah, as part of the process of tshuva, after he's described how a person does tshuva, how important it is to do tshuva, he then in Shar Gimel lists all the positive mitzvahs and all the negative mitzvahs that a person may need to do tshuva on to be more careful in keeping the mitzvahs. And the introduction that he gives to mitzvahs, he says you should realize that mitzvahs are very important, and we have such important mitzvahs. Not obviously every mitzvah is important, but there are mitzvahs that are the foundations of our belief, and he says the first mitzvah is Becharta Bechayim, and then he says Amunah and Yirin and learning Torah. So he described it as a mitzvah. There's a positive mitzvah, Becharta Bechayim, to make the right choices. The Bechira also becomes a mitzvah, a tool that we could use to become closer to Hashem, and hopefully we'll understand that better. Now the Ram continues. Next halacha. Al Yavar Machshav Techa. Davar Zeh, Sh'omrim Tipshe Umas Olam. V'rov Gomle B'nei Yisrael. Shekarash Baruch Hu goes al Adam mitchilas b'yaso lios tzadik ha-rasha. There are many people who the outside world deems them to be extremely accomplished and extremely smart, and the Ram describes them here as tipshei umas ha-olam. Don't let it even pass through your head what these tipshei umas ha-olam say. Shekarash Baruch Hu goes al Adam mitchilas b'yaso lios tzadik ha-rasha. Everything is decided, Meirosh. Hashem decided from the beginning, and you can't change your destiny. Ain't a davar kein, ella kol adam roy lo lios tzadik ke Moshe Rabbeinu. O Rasha ki Ravam, o Chacham, o Schil Rachman, o Achsari, o Kilosh, o Shav v'chol shar kol adeos. This line is a crucial line, that a person is roy lo tzadik ke Moshe Rabbeinu. What Bechira gives us, we'll start to understand what the Rambam is saying, because I have Bechira, I have the choice, I have the ability to become like Moshe Rabbeinu. Then I ask myself, Mani, have I used my Bechira at all to get even close to those steps? Or maybe I use my Bechira in the other direction. The person can become the worst Rasha through his Bechira. And all the Midos is all up to a person's Bechira. And don't believe, and there's been many throughout the generations, there's been many new forms of Tipshei Umas Olam. In the Rambam's time, it was Tipshei Umas Olam because they said everything's based on Mazel. And whatever is decided in the stars and in the different mazalos, the different astrology, the different pictures that people look at and decide the way person you were born under this mazel, so you're going to be this way. That's the way they originally said it, and then as people got more sophisticated in psychology, this nature versus nurture discussion, a person is the way he is, and that we can't do anything about it. And now I think they talk about, I don't really understand these things so well, but they talk about, in terms of science, how they prove, neuroscience and science, how they prove that everything in the world, I'm sure some of us can enlighten us, how everything in the world is predetermined, and the fact that on a physics level, we know exactly what cause and how every cause and effect will work. So although we don't fully understand, the same is true by people. You thought that you decided to get up in the morning and do this and get dressed and drive to shul. All that is also built into the nature of the world. Different forms of what the Rambam calls tipshi umas olam, to not even let pass through our mind, because we believe that we have the ability to make the right choices or the wrong choices and become a tzadik kimosha or rasha kiravam. The ain lo mi shechavol v'lo gazer alav v'lo mi shemoshkel le'echa mishnei adrachim. No one has decided or pushed you or forced you to any of these two ways. Elohu me'atzmo umidaito. It's all up to you yourself in your own das, in your own personality. Le'ezuzu derech shiyirtza, to choose which way you want to go. It does not come from Mipi Elyon, from the mouth, from the decision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Haraos Vatov. Hashem does make zeros. Hashem does decide things. Everything is Hashem knows, and Hashem is in charge. Hashem has his Hashgacha Pratis. But the Raos Vatov, the good and the bad, does not come from Hashem. Hashem gave us the ability to make that our choice ourselves. Are we going to be good? Are we going to be bad? Kilomer. Ein abori gozer al adam lios tov lo lios ra. Hashem doesn't say you're going to be the Rasha and you're going to be the Tzaddik. The Kevin Shekain, who nimsa zechote who has said it's atzmo. You can't go blame it on anybody else. If you chose the wrong path, you are mastered as atzmo. And this the Rambam is describing another Gemara, famous Gemara. The Gemara in Baba Basra says, based on Pesukim and Eov, that in the end, they had a discussion with the philosophers, the Umas Olam, the Umma Solom said that in the end of the day, I could patter the whole world bidin. You did something wrong, don't worry about it. Figure it out. Hashem gave you a guf, and a neshama gave you a tetov, a tahara, and each one could just blame each other. And they decided to do the wrong thing, so you could just, your neshama will blame your guf. And the response that the Chacham gave to that is the following mashal, that a king appointed two people to guard his field. One is blind, and one is lame. Is crippled, he can't walk. Say the king returns to his field, his beautiful paradise, his beautiful orchard, after a certain amount of time of being away, and he finds it ruined and eaten up. And the first person he blames his two shomrim. What'd you guys do? You ate up my whole field. And they said to him, how could we do anything? I'm blind and he's lame. He can't walk and I can't see. So obviously, we didn't touch your field. Someone else must have did it. And what did the king do? He put the lame person on the shoulders of the blind person and sentenced them both. Meaning, what did they do? The guy who could see, so he stood on. He was on the shoulders. He used the blind guy as a wheelchair and directed him. Said, "You go there, pull down this root and mess up this tree." And that is the mashal to the neshama to the guf. We can't just patter ourselves and say, "Oh, it's the guf's fault." They work together. They work in tandem, and that's what the Ram's saying here also. Zechoto who has said it's atzmo. There's no one else to blame. You cause destruction to yourself. And therefore, since we have this bechira, and if we choose wrongly, we are causing our own destruction. This is where we see a hint why it's in Hilchos Teshuva. Since this is true, a person should cry out and should be upset about his mistakes that he's made. Why? Because he did it to himself. If sin was caused by outside forces, he should blame those outside forces. But if he looks back at his life and he says, Ma'ani, he only has one person to blame. Who is Shekasav Acharav? Ma Yisoni Adam Chai? What could you say? What excuse could a person give? There's no excuses to himself. And Bechira is the key to tshuva. Once we believe that the sin is our fault, then Hashem, by giving us the ability to make the right choices, has given us the key to tshuva. By now changing our bechira, turning a bechira towards the proper direction, we could do tshuva. And that's why it's in Hilchos Tshuva, because bechira is not just a philosophical belief. Bechira is a power that we have the ability to use, to tap into, and to make positive changes in our life. That's what the pasuk says. If you look in the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, we see a progression. First it says, any good and bad, that was us, not Hashem decreeing. And then it says, what excuses can we give? Since we can't give an excuse, the only response is, we have no excuses, but we have the ability to continue and use the Bechira towards good. We're going to search our actions, we're going to investigate, and then we'll change, we'll do tshuva. But davar zeh, and what I've described to you, zeh ikar gadolhu, this is a major tenet, it's a major important point. There's even a discussion in the Rambam, why Bechira Chafshis is not on his list of the 13 principles of faith. The Rambam here says that it's an ikar gadol. That's what he means. Hu amara Torah. It's a pillar of the entire Torah of our mitzvah. Shenamar, pasuk we said the Ramban uses, Rei nasat lefnechem hayom ezechayim. Except Rei nachin nasin lefnechem hayom. What does that mean? Kolomer sherashis biyadchem. It's all up to you. V'chol sheyichpo tzadam la'asos meisa b'nei adam osa b'in tovim b'in rayim. U'mnei zayin yenemar mitin v'haya levavim zelahem. Kolomer, she'ina bori kofa b'nei adam. Who's in charge of your heart? Mitin. Hashem doesn't force us anything. In a borekof b'nei adam v'lo gozer alein la'asos tova ora ela kol masur lahem. Right, mi'atein v'hayel avavim zelahem. I gave to them their heart, which is in their hands, to make the right decisions, and it's all up to them. And then he continues on in the next halacha, where he deals with his contradiction between foreknowledge and free choice, which is not for now. But that is the basic idea, the basic presentation of the Rambam in his Bechira Chafshis, and this is totally unanimously agreed upon amongst all the different thinkers in throughout Jewish history. There is discussion of degrees, especially because of the question and the contradiction or the paradox between free will and Hashem knowing everything. And so some put more of an emphasis on one than another, different mefarshim, different ways of dealing with that, and how far Bechira goes, but everybody agrees to the basic approach of Bechira, what the Rambam is calling an Ikar Gadol. And the main point that comes out from this context and from its placement in Hilchos Tshuva is to realize that Bechira isn't just a belief, like maybe some of the other Ikar Emunah. For example, Schar V'Onesh. Okay, it's important to know Schar V'Onesh, and it does affect our life because we should be careful about how we do things because we know there'll be Schar V'Onesh. Or let's say the belief in Tchiyas HaMesim. It's important to believe it. Practically, are we going to do anything differently in our life through the belief in Tchiyas HaMesim? I don't know, probably not. But Bechira Chafshis, besides being a belief of something that we must believe in, it's a tool. It's something that's powerful that we're able to tap into and use. And that's what the Rambam puts in Hilchos Tshuva. Because to understand Bechira, to understand that this line of a person has the ability to be a tzaddik kimo Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why it's in Hilchos Tshuva. And therefore a person should realize that he's responsible for his actions, and he should ask himself, Ma'ani? And if he doesn't like that answer, then he has the ability to choose and turn himself to the other direction and start moving to be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why to realize that we have Bechira gives us the power, gives us the ability to never say to ourselves, I live in this circumstance, I live in this place, I had the following upbringing, I had the following challenges. Yes, they're challenges and they're nisyonos. But since we have Bechira, and there's nothing that's going to stop us, nothing. There's nisyonos, but there's nothing that can stop us from making the right choices, that's empowering. It gives us the ability to decide where to view in our eyes. If I'm not for myself, what do I want to be? What can I accomplish? To decide how I want to accomplish that and move towards that. And we see this play out, this discussion, I think, in one of the most inspiring parts of the Megillah Esther. It's tucked away towards the middle. It's not the ultimate drama where with the psukim that we read out loud, where we describe Mordechai's greatness, and we describe Mordechai being paraded in the streets. But nonetheless, I think the message is equally important. And what we find ourselves in the Megillah is in Perek Daled. After Haman convinces Achashverosh that it would be a good idea, the whole money changing hands, it would be a good idea to get rid of the Jews, and Haman did his pour, the side of the day, and the Gzera went out, and as the Gemara refers to it, the Tabas of the Melech, once the Tabas was taken off and given to Haman, that's when the Gzera started. The fact that now it was in Haman's hands to do as he wished with the Jewish people. And we find that Mordechai...
Speaking of Haman, what is next week?
Purim. That's exactly why we decided to talk about it. And this theme didn't fit so well, Parshas Tetzava. So we decided to focus on Megillas Esther. Maybe if we worked harder, we probably could tie it into...
Work it, I'm sure you could.
You have the Kohen, you have the Bechir, the Kohen Gadol, and Parshas Tetzava. So the difference between the Kohen Gadol, you see the different levels a person could reach.
Every coin could be a Kohen Gadol.
That's right.
You just said that.
That's right. So... there's only one Kohen Gadol, but you have to wait to Parshas Korach for that.
There's only one here.
So we'll have to wait for Parshas Korach. That's right. You got the Gabba here, you can work it out.
He's a Gabba, he knew already.
So then, so what happens after this Gzeira's place? So we find Mordechai's reaction, this is towards the beginning of the parak. Then Mordechai knows exactly what the Gzeira was. They're going to be erased, and the Ksav that was given b'Shushan lahashmidam nasam laharos is Esther lahagilo l'tzavas alel avo al melech l'schanin lo l'vakish l'fanav alama. Then Mordechai says, "Okay, there's one thing we need to do right now. We need to go to Esther." We need to tell Esther, who is already has the inn, she's now the new queen, she has the inn with Achashverosh, so go to Achashverosh, and l'eschanein l'vakish m'lefan ha'balama, to go and beg and plead for her nation, to save them. V'yavo asech v'yagel Esther as divrei Mordechai, and the messenger tells Esther what Mordechai has told her that she needs to do. V'tam resol asech v'tatzevo al Mordechai, she returns to him and says, go tell Mordechai, the law is, I can't go to the king. Everybody knows. You can only go to the king until you've been called, and the melech puts out his shavir azav and points to you and lets you go in, and then you can live. Otherwise, that's it. It's an automatic death sentence. And I haven't been called to the melech in 30 days. Something must be going on. Maybe something's off. Obviously, she knew that now's not the opportunity to go. And Esther seems to have a good point. She's stuck. Her hands are tied. What do you expect from her? Says Mordechai. V'yagidu le Mordechai eis divrei Esther. He's told what she says. V'yomer Mordechai lehishiv al Esther. Al tidmi v'nafsheich lehimlad beis ha-melech mikol Yehudim. Don't worry about yourself. Don't hold yourself back to... not go to the Beis HaMelech Mikol Yehudim. Why? Ki im hachrish tachrish beis hazos. Revech, go for it. Revech v'atzol yamal Yehudim b'makom acher, v'aru beis avich tavdu miyode im la'eis kazos yigal l'malchus. Says Mordechai to Esther, you can't be silent now. Now's not the time to say, what can I do? There's nothing I can do anymore. It's not up to me. I have no ability to make any changes now. What exactly is he saying on this line? Revech v'atzol yamal Yehudim b'makom acher. We'll hold off on that for a second. V'aru beis avich tavedu. That's also a whole discussion here. What does it mean, aru beis avich tavedu? What is she going to be lost in her beis avich? The Medrash here picks up and that Esther's role at this point was to, we know that Esther came from the lineage of Shalom Melech. And Esther had the ability to make a tikkun and to fix a mistake that Shalom Melech made by allowing the Melech of Amalek to live, and that's what caused this whole story in a certain sense. So now that means the Medrash says Ado Beis Avich Tavidu. Here's your chance to fix what your Beis Avich did, but if you don't, then it's going to be continued. That Chet is going to continue to come and stare at us and cause us harm. She should realize there's a plan, and the Hashkacha and Bechira, also a bigger discussion. Hashkacha and Bechira very much couple each other. The more emphasis you put on Hashkacha, the more your Bechira becomes important. Because Hashem is orchestrating every move. That means that every choice that you're making is all that more significant. It's not just I'm in the situation. Hashem put me specifically in the situation for a certain reason, and therefore I have to make sure to make the right choice. And that's the message that Mordechai was trying to emphasize to Esther. To realize that you can do something. You can't just say, like the Rambam said, it's someone else. There's other factors going on. I'm honest. I'm stuck. Certain times you are stuck. And here would seemingly be a place where she was really stuck. To risk her life. And even to go into Achashverosh. It was a whole... not a good thing for her to have to... put herself into that compromising position. Of being with Achashverosh. But at the end of the day... the message of Mordechai... im hacharish tacharishi... The message was heard and understood by Esther. But Tamar Esther Lahashiva Mordechai Leich Kenosis called Yehudim and Himsayim Beshushan Vesamo Live Alatachlovat Eshtu Shoshim Lyle Vyom Gamani Venerosi Asum Kena Vachena Vola Melech Asher Lochidas Kasher Vanity of Vanity. And that's exactly what. And that's exactly what Mordechai did. And he gathered, and this is where they gathered up. And this is the turning point of the Megillah. And it was Esther, through Mordechai's encouragement, realizing that it was the power of her Bechira, it was the power of her choice that allowed the entire story to unfold. And for us to see that nace. Imagine, that's what Mordechai's saying. And if you don't make this right choice, normally we don't find ourselves in such choices with such significance. But Rav Dessler writes when he discusses Bechira that every choice, we don't even realize, if we would be able to realize that Hashem would show us the plan, every choice that we make in life does have serious repercussions for us, for generations to come. We don't fully see it. You know, it's like in those books in the show, the person goes back in time and he like steps on one little plant, and then due to that, in the future, everything comes to be different. And that's really, it's a scary perspective, and the person can go...
Can you dash him? If you don't do it now, right? In another generation,
yes,
another
so the,
place.
That's the Medrash picks up. It's referring to Mashiach.
Right.
That's exactly.
And then you would have lost.
That's exactly what the Medrash says. The Revach Vatzal Yamol Yehudim Malkam Acher is Mashiach will come. Mashiach's going to take care of this problem. There will be Hatzalah. Hashem's not going to leave his people out like that. But it's you. If you want to be part of this, if you're destiny, so that's right. Hashem's going to work things out. That's Hashkacha. And you say, fine, Hashem will work it out, but what does it have to do with me? The answer is that it has everything to do with you. And that's why he gave you Bechira to make that right choice.
Your Rav Goldberg said tonight, because I heard the shiur already, that only two
How'd
times...
How'd you hear the shiur?
Because it was repeated to me from last night. He gave him the five towns because of the same... Only two times in history... has a Jew gone to the king without permission. Obviously, one, he was teaching Megillah last night. So he said the second time, it's going to be next week, Netanyahu, coming to the king without permission. So he made the analogy between, you know,
yes,
what the power of Mordechai and Esther, you know, you do something without without permission.
Sometimes, right?
And you never know how it's going to affect this way. You say, like, you know, and that's
right,
what's going
and sometimes
on.
Sometimes that's what you got to do, you know, when you find yourself in those situations. And you have to save yourself, in lo achshav imasai. And just to close, it's a bigger discussion, but as we approach Parshas Zachar and the message of Amalek, this is partially what Amalek stood for. The first thing that Amalek stood for is, as the Pasuk says, Asher Karcha B'Derech. So as we heard on Sunday night, there is one perspective, Karirus, but another, the Medrash picks up on Asher Karcha, is also Miloshen Mikra. That Amalek says everything's a Mikra, everything's a happenstance. Amalek rejects in a very strong way, Hashkacha Pratis. And that's exactly what brought Amalek in the first place. Every other nation saw Tzias Mitzrayim, the Nisim that Hashem did for the Jewish people, and Amalek said, I don't care. Why? Because it's a mikra. It's a coincidence. There's no Hashkacha. And they attacked us. But besides denying Hashkacha, and as we said, Hashkacha and Bechira double and they work together, Amalek, and this is a whole deeper idea of the chet of Amalek and the root of Amalek and their negativity that they bring to the world is really rooted back in the chet of Adam Rishon in terms of the Nachash. There's the connections in the Midrashim between the Nachash and Amalek. That's where Amalek got their Shorash Ra. This next source, Reb Tzadok Milublin, describes this point that all bad choices came from that original bad choice. Adam Rishon had the Bechira, and the Nachash convinced him, tried to blame on the Nachash. That's exactly what was going on. He's a Mesis, the Gemara says. The Nachash, someone who tries to convince someone else to sin, yeah, he might have had a good point, but Chava listened, and then Adam listened. And all these things come from Amalek, he says. And Amalek is the ability to say that our choices don't matter, and the mitzvah of Zachar, just look at the last few lines, V'chazar v'yizir Moshe, v'bin olav Hashem kodem, k'nisasim l'art Zachar, v'haya b'haniach, k'shayelo menucha, mikol kochas hara, sh'b'olam v'haino shia shalim, b'tachas ha'shlim is b'fawel, Amalek's always that force inside of us to tell us to make the wrong choice, to not be like the Esther and stand up against Amalek and make the right choice. And he's being medayik in the pasuk, when is the main mitzvah of Mechidas HaMalek? When we go into Eretz Yisrael and we're able to be with, as the Rambam describes, with the Melech, and the Jewish people have sovereignty over Eretz Yisrael, then things have calmed down. And sometimes there are points of clarity, there are times of Menucha, where all the Kochos Hara, they're quiet, and we have the ability to make clear right choices. And by making those clear right choices at those times, it gives us the upper hand. We can banish the Yitzhar from coming back. Because if we continuously choose against him, he doesn't want to deal with us anymore. He'll spend his kochos on the umas olam, and the Rambam says the tipshi umas olam, who think there is no free choice. Why do they think there's no free choice? Because they just want to be enticed by the Yitzhara, to deny free choice. Someone just told me that there was a study done, a psychological study, where they gave us a report by a famous psychologist or philosopher who talks about how there's no free choice. And then they gave another group of people a similar report from that psychologist about a totally different neutral topic. And then they gave both groups a test to take, and they gave both groups the ability to grade their own tests. And what they found was a significant percentage of those who read the article about the lack of free choice cheated on the test because they saw a direct correlation.
That's
these tipshi umas olam, and that's what Amalek tries to tell us. But on times like Purim, where we're able to come to spiritual clarity and able to make the right choices and the right decisions, and this is the whole, not for now, but that's the whole idea of Ad Lo Yada in Purim, to be able to come to that root of what's truly good inside us and make those choices, then we have
like
the ability.
Megillah reading.
Exactly, at the times of the Megillah, when we feel that inspiration, it's to take that inspiration and use it to continuously make proper choices to hopefully see the banishment of all those negativity and the things that pull us away from the right choices. That's what he's saying. It's all those psukim in Yirmiyahu. I don't know where the parakeet. Yeah, I could check the parakeet in a second.
Yeah.